Welcome to the Hillbilly and the Hipster. My name's Chad McCool, and I am joined, as always, I'm joined with my brother from another mother, Andy Crow. It's been a long week, Andy. Happy Easter.
Look. Merry Christmas. What? Look. This new job is really like hitting me. And so like I'm just burning the candle at both ends, man. So I get it. Like my brain is mush. I've learned so much stuff in the last 3 weeks that I didn't think I needed to know, but definitely do. So we are just drinking from a fire hydrant. And so like used to I would stay up, right? Like I'd stay and play video games till midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, get up at 7, go to work, come home, rinse, repeat, right? Like I've been going to bed at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, because I just am physically worn. And I and also in fairness, could be because I'm getting old.
Gonna
Not
say,
as old as you, but old.
welcome to adulthood.
But adulthood sucks. Don't do it. 0 out of 10. Would not recommend. Where's Jeffrey the giraffe when I need him? Because I don't want to grow up. I want to be a Toys R Us kid.
He's in the Macy's where I took a picture with him a couple weeks ago and sent it to
I know I miss him. I need him to come back to the burrow. Oh, me. But yeah, just crazy times waiting. Got my oldest baseball schedule. So now I compare his baseball and football schedule to see how much lack of sleep I'm going to get now.
Yeah, I just looked at my. I
First
know
three
we
games of the year are late games. Pretty excited about that.
late games. Like, what's late?
Like the game start is supposed to start at 7:15, which means they'll start 7:30. Which means we'll get home at 9:15.
That's late for little kids.
Yeah, that's late for me.
Yeah. Well, welcome to, what's those two old Muppets? Statler and Waldorf. Statler and Waldorf complain about their
What?
schedules. Those are
Two old hillbilly and hipsters.
the old men Muppets that sat in the theater booth.
I'm just gonna
Yeah,
start razzing people like they do.
I looked at my calendar that after tomorrow, I don't have a Friday or Saturday free for 6 weeks. Like multiple things work related. Or other ministry related for like 6 weeks. And I know I'm blessed. They're good things, but I'm like, at that end, at Memorial Day weekend is not going to be able to come fast enough because I'm just going to need the veg out time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And right now, people are
Yeah,
listening and being like, suck it up, Buttercup. Welcome to
right. You don't have a
adulthood.
real job. What are
That's
you talking
right.
about?
You work one day a week anyway.
I am I've got a countdown on my phone for vacation. I am 64 days, 6 hours, 45 minutes, and 48 seconds from vacation. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I don't have a real like a prolonged vacation planned. I have some trips based around conferences and come October, I'll spend probably 2 weeks in Texas at multiple places doing multiple things, but I don't really have a real vacation. That'll just be a little bunch of little getaways, I think, this summer. And by
What are
getaways, I don't leave
oh.
America. I'm going to Wyoming and Montana for getaways.
I turned 40 this year, and so my wife decided that my 40th birthday needed to mimic her 40th birthday. So we're not going to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Right, because
We're
all I've known for years since I've known you, we've planned to go to Cooperstown for your 40th birthday.
that was my plan until the group and Dr. Wife decided they like this, and I had fun last time, so I was like, yeah, let's just do it. I'm not mad, don't get me wrong, but so 2025, the McCools and the Crows are heading to Cooperstown. Put it in the books. So I'll have my people call your people
Lord
and
willing,
get
and
that
the
scheduled.
Lord willing, and the creek don't
Lord willing, the
rise.
creek don't rise, you racist.
So I've been accused.
Happens. Good night. Yeah, me too. Good
Well,
Lord.
the Rangers are 4-2. They've won both series. I'm a happy camper. I get to go to opening day tomorrow. Tomorrow's home opener for the Colorado Rockies, so I'm going for free. And I'm really tempted to just go in all
Free
Rangers
baseball is
gear
good.
to tick off my friend who's bringing me, friend of the show, Alex. But
Oh, Alex, I miss Alex. How's
I'm
he
gonna.
doing?
He's good. I'm gonna save it though, because I'm gonna go see the Rangers when they come here for. I got tickets to all three games, and I'm going with Alex to the first one on Friday night. And I have I've been saving it, but I got the last year during the World Series, Evan Carter and then a bunch of other Rangers started wearing this Jesus One T-shirt that's in the Rangers font, and so I bought one, and the money goes to Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I'm wearing that to the opening game of the series just to
I love it. I
see
love
the
it. I
reaction.
love it. I love it. Yeah, the Braves are 3-2, which isn't the start that I wanted. We did have a game rained out yesterday against the White Sox.
But you had opening day
But
rained out too. Do they
yeah,
make
so
up
we
that
started a
one?
day late. Yeah, we made that one up because there was the scheduled off day on
Oh yeah,
Friday
that's right.
in case of rain. So we made that up the next day. But nobody else in the East has a winning record, so we're good. We're solidly in first place for 5 games in. We got the Diamondbacks coming in tomorrow for the weekend, and that's gonna be a hard series, but we'll see how it goes. Well, we'll see. I would like to say that I'm gonna watch Saturday's game, but it's also WrestleMania weekend.
Oh Lord.
And so I'm watching. Yeah, me and Turner have been planning our WrestleMania event for the last 2 months. So we're gonna smoke some meat, and we're gonna watch wrestling
So
because
you're gonna
that's what we
smoke
do in the
some
South.
meat and watch Men in Tights.
That's right. That's how we roll.
Don't disturb
Watch
Annie this
the
weekend.
Bray. Yeah, if you're gonna text me, it needs to be important. Also, I would say I could put my phone on Do Not Disturb and nobody could bother me, but you and like three people can get through, so there's no sense in me putting it on Do Not Disturb because it'll still come through. I think it's you, Doctor Wife, and Mom and Turner. Those are the three that can get through.
I think that's
If I have
four.
Do Not Disturb on, you, Dr. Wife, Mom.
Turner.
Math is hard. Yeah, that is four. I never claimed to be a genius.
I had a good one lined
But
up.
I know you did. But I may not be a smart man,
You know who
and you may
is.
not be the smartest of smart people, but you know who is? The fine folks down at St. Gargano. They are very smart people. And you may think, Andy, how do you know? Well, one, I know them, right? Very, very highly educated people. But also, like, come on, to
Well,
be able to do some of the stuff that they do, they gotta be smart.
was gonna say he knows us. How smart is he?
Well, that's going to take some IQ points away from him, the fact that he openly calls us friends and will hang out with us. God, love him. We love you, Keith. And
We
speaking of
do.
Keith, let's give some information, shall I?
Yes, sir.
St. Gargano Armory is the premier destination for handcrafted and blacksmith merchandise. They use traditional techniques to create unique and stunning pieces, each one embedded with the spirit of St. Gargano himself. Each item is a work of art, crafted with care and attention to detail. St. Gargano Armory believes that quality and authenticity are paramount, and that's why they use the finest materials and take pride in their commitment to traditional craftsmanship. The products are not only beautiful, but they're functional.
And a portion of all sales goes back into the community. So why settle for generic, mass-produced items when you can own something one of a kind and hand-forged? And it also gives back to the community. So visit them at stgalganoarmory.etsy.com today to browse their selection of blacksmith merchandise and blacksmith apparel.
Amen. Yeah, you can check them out. It's stgalganoarmory.etsy.com. Or on the social medias at St. Galgano Instagram. They are Saint_Galgano_Armory. It's good stuff. I use my stuff quite regularly.
I haven't used mine since my fit of rage last week. But there's some stuff I'll end up using it for this week, so it'll be okay. So, Chad, the last few weeks, and really a lot over the last few months, we've talked about some heavy issues. We've talked about the seriousness of ministry. And ministry is a very serious thing. Don't get me wrong. Like, both of us, I think, take our calls extremely serious, right? We don't just get up in the pulpit or in front of our audience and just willy-nilly talk and hope that they get it. Like, we put some time and effort into it, and
I cram a lot in that 8 hours a week I work.
Right.
I mean, five and a half.
And so, on a good day, on a good week. But no, I think that sometimes youth pastors, more so than senior pastors, catch a bad break for not taking their job serious. And you know, with every profession, there are the ones that should not have the job, right? For one thing or another. But I think a lot of times, because pastors are looked at as only...
You said a key thing right there. I think for some of them who shouldn't have it, it's because they view it as a job.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's key.
Absolutely. But I think that, you know, with some of the flack that we catch, and for the stress that it brings and the amount of gray hairs that come with the position, you have them up top. I have them in my beard.
Oh, have you seen my beard? It's why I don't have one anymore. I look like Santa Claus.
I know, Santa. I know. You know, mine's... Once it infiltrates on top of my head, I'm bald. That's just, I'm gonna have the Keith Tenzing look is what I'm going for at that point. But with every like hard aspect of our job, okay, you being full time, me being right, just fill in right now, with every hard aspect and seriousness, generally, there's something fun or like completely unexpected that comes through in ministry. Like right now, as I sit in my home office, I look to my right, and on my shelf, I see a couple of things. One, there's a picture of me and three of my teens in Gatlinburg and those old timey photos, you know, where we're like dressed up as Westerners, pulling guns on each other. Shout out to the NRA. And then also right under that, I just got us canceled. Sorry. That's
well,
it.
Well, then I'm gonna give a shout out to the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Association, because they're doing more than the NRA does as far as filing.
Absolutely they are.
Where I live.
I'm here for it. But I have a coffee mug.
I was gonna say we'll cut that out, but we know that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, like we would like to pretend that we're going to cut that out, but at our mental state right now, that made the episode, folks.
Coffee cup.
Yeah, so I'm looking over and I'm looking over and under that picture and a few other pictures of me and my former youth group is a coffee cup. And it's a coffee cup that my grandmother gave me, my granny Phyllis gave me for Christmas one year. And she said, of all the people in the world that I think need this coffee mug, it's you. I said, Granny, I don't drink coffee. And she said, no, but you're dumb enough to put it on your desk. And a lot of your students will love it. And it is a coffee cup that is in the shape of a pile of crap, just a swirly poo. and it says coffee makes me poop.
Oh, I remember that cup.
And it is, and I've never drank out of it. It actually was a pencil holder on my desk for the longest time. And if I, the company that I work for now, if we, when we move into a brick and mortar office, that'll probably go on my desk in there, because we work with teenagers, and you know, what a way to break the ice with a teenager than a big thing of poo on my desk. But,
it helps
ministry. Oh, it does. Ministry can be hard. It can be taxing, but man, it can be fun. And along with the fun stuff, there's always situations that we're a part of that we often don't see coming.
Well, yeah. And since you and talked so about.
So I thought.
Well, go ahead.
Can I finish?
Yes.
Can I finish?
I was bringing God's word, but you can finish.
Well, you can bring. I can't even say what I was about to say. Daggummit. No, I thought maybe this episode we could look at some of the more lighthearted seasons or not seasons, lighthearted parts of ministry that, you know, the stories don't often get told, and they definitely don't prepare you for in seminary. At least I assume they don't. I never went to seminary, so you did, so you can tell me.
Well, like, you know, lighthearted moments like the kid that I baptized who cussed when he got in the water. And then his mom started yelling at him. Whole church is like, what?
What did he say?
They started questioning me. Are you sure you should be baptizing this kid?
So, yeah. So last week at youth group, kid comes in and we were talking about his mom. And I was like, dude, I ain't messing with your mom. She terrifies me. And he goes, yeah, she's effing scary. And then like, I looked up and the other deacon in there looked up and the music minister looked up and the four of us made eye contact. Like, and he knew that he messed up. So there was really no need to come down on him. Right. Like he knew. And so then we all kind of looked down, but then we look up and the rest of the youth group is sitting there like
waiting.
So we're just going to sweep that under the rug. Like,
yeah.
Like we're not going to touch that. We're just going to let it go.
They're waiting to see you rain fire upon them.
Oh man. I mean, I could have, but you know, you got to pick him. I mean, he knew.
I think before we get started, you mentioned poo and it made me think of what is my life verse for ministry, which is
Proverbs. I've mentioned poo and it made you think of your life verse?
Yep, Proverbs 14:4.
I love you more every day.
Proverbs 14:4 is where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. So basically, God's talking about poo, and it always made me think of ministry because ministry is messy, right? Because if you don't have an ox, you got a clean manger. If you bring an ox into the stable, what do you got? You got poo.
You got poo.
I no, mean, I've ministry seen is buffalo dirty
in so many different ways.
Yeah, there's a lot of poo from an ox. And ministry's messy. There's a lot of poo.
I always think of the scene in Jurassic Park where, like, they're so dumbfounded on the size of the, like, pile of poo.
Oh, and
that Laura they can't Dern's, look away from.
Well, and she's shoveling. Yeah. She's digging through it to look why it's sick.
She's digging through it and can't look away to see the actual dinosaur that never existed. But she's so like, oh my gosh, look at this poo, and can't look at the dinosaur. And it's like, honey, let's get your stuff together. So I thought I've got a scenario that I would I'll go first, if you will.
Okay.
We'll just kind of talk a little bit. So the baptistry at this church was really small.
Oh, I've got one of those, a small one. Not now, but maybe, I worked at a maybe, church.
Maybe not super small, but like if you were a little bit taller or bigger, you had to be strategic. Because, you know, you're always stand in the middle of the baptistry. But if they were a little bit bigger, you'd want to kind of scoot to one side or the other, depending on which way you dip them, right? And so I didn't baptize this guy, but I was sitting there. He was big boy, like 6'4", maybe 6'5". just a big boy. And mutual friend of ours goes to baptize him, and he asks, you know, have you accepted Jesus? And the follow-up questions from there. And then he was like, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he covers his mouth, and as he takes him down, you just hear thud. And so his head hits the wall, and it's that rough wall, and just like scrapes all the way down. And so he comes up, you know, soaking wet because he's been in, you know, buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. But then also you see like coming out of his
blood,
like the side of his head. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, snap. Yeah. He
just massacred the side of his head.
Little church.
So that's a.
Well, this little church I served in Texas, we had a little baptistry too. And it was like a pole barn was a sanctuary. And basically we had a compound with a bunch of like double wide trailer. Like the youth room was a double wide that was on the campus, and the fellowship hall was a double wide. But the church, we had pews and it faced towards the pulpit, and the baptistry was off to the side behind this window. And they hadn't had baptisms for a while. I had a couple of kids that were getting baptized that Sunday, and I scrubbed it out, got everything ready. I didn't know there was a fill line. Kids get baptized fine. There's a woman who's been coming to the church. She's not a small woman, and she decided to get baptized, and she goes under, and I overfilled it. And it makes it worse, because it has nothing to do with necessarily because she was a larger woman. I just think like that made me feel mortified, because when she goes under, it just went all over into the front row of the church. And he just locks eyes with me, the senior pastor. And I'm like, I didn't know. I thought it was from her at first. He's like, there's a line. I'm like, I thought it was dirt. This thing was filthy. Spiders were living in it.
Oh, the front row of the church splash zone.
Yes. So
the
one of the deacons was going to paint it red to make a splash zone.
So, every youth minister, for the most part, hates lock-ins.
Gosh, yeah.
I've never found a youth minister that likes them. I'm sure that they're there. But then I question their call into ministry. But inevitably every student, hey, when are we having a lock-in? And my response was, when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, and that's the lock-in. It's one nonstop worshiping party. Right. But until then, Andy's not going to be there. Well, so my youth group, just, we need a lock-in. We need a lock-in. We need a lock-in. A buddy of mine's church, we need a lock-in. We need a lock-in. We need a lock-in. And so we get together, and we're like, we're going to do a fake lock-in. Everybody shows up at 6. You leave at 2 in the morning. I don't know. We just arbitrarily said 2. It was a stupid idea. I'm going to let you know now. Dumb idea. Should have stopped it at midnight. Ended up ordering $300 worth of pizza. Stupid idea, because about $100 worth of it got ate by the kids, and then $200 was ate by the adults.
Yeah.
And I don't like pizza because
if I remember that core of youth pastors, I was sort of thinking of, none of you were small boys.
No, we were all big boys. All of us were big boys, and so we're playing a game, and every area has a different name for this game, but we called it Bear, and it's essentially reverse hide and go seek.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it's just hide and go seek. I don't know. So like everybody hides, and the one person is the bear. And then when the bear finds somebody, that person screams bear, and everybody runs to base. Okay. I don't know what people call it other places, but we called it Bear.
It seems like it's a hybrid of hide and go seek and tag.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and we were doing it at Agape. Okay. And so I got everybody together. I had all the chaperones together, and I was like, look, I don't have a lot of rules. Okay. Stay out of the offices. Stay out. The baptistry is behind the stage. Stay out of it. Because we were a Christian church, so the baptistry was always full. It always had water in it. I said, so stay out of the baptistry. You can go behind the stage because there are rooms back there. Don't go up the stairs. And I'm standing in the gym. And friend of the show, DJ, had dropped his son and his son's friend off. Ducky and one of his friends. And that's important for in a second. And so I'm standing in the gym and I hear something and I was like, no, that's surely. Like it was 45 seconds almost after I said, stay off the baptistry, stay out of the offices. 45 seconds to a minute, I hear a noise and I'm like, surely not. So I just stand there. Then all of a sudden an adult walks in and she's like, somebody got in the baptistry. And so, like, I'm immediately just pissed. And I stayed pissed for, like, 5 minutes, okay? I didn't stay mad because when I got there and saw what I saw and the way the story was portrayed to me, you just can't help but laugh. So somebody yells bear. And for some reason, this group of kids, led by Ducky, decides in his head, like, I bet those stairs lead to a room. And he takes off running up the stairs, flings the door open, and is going to take off running. It's like he walked on air for a short minute, like in a cartoon, you know? And then he realizes there's nothing there and just, boom, splash down. And then gets out of the baptistry and realizes, oh, man, my phone fell out of my pocket. So instead of calmly walking back down the stairs into the baptistry, reaching down and getting it. And I love this kid and this kid loves me. And he knows that when I say this, I say it. And I mean it. This idiot. this idiot like swan dives into my baptistry to retrieve his phone. Like, so he comes out soaking wet. The stage is wet. The amp is wet. The drums are wet. I'm mad again a little bit.
You didn't have a lot of room at that and church then, for splashing.
Yeah, there was too much splash zone. And so I look at him and I was like, what were you thinking? And he was like, I was trying to get away from the bear. But the way he said it made it sound like there was an actual freaking bear loose in the church. And so I remember calling friend of the show DJ and I was like, hey man, can you bring Ducky a change of clothes? And he was like, why does he need a change of clothes? And I was like, cause your son's an idiot. I said, now on the plus side, we don't have to worry about, you know, his salvation anymore because he just baptized himself. And so me and my buddy that was doing the youth, the lock-in with us, like we instantly grab our phones because we're those pastors and he goes on Instagram Live and I go on Facebook Live and we're like, guys, our youth lock-in is so awesome and the Spirit is moving so much. The kids aren't waiting for us to baptize them. They're just baptizing themselves. It's like a Pentecostal hallapalooza up in here. And I was just like, you almost wonder, like, did you plan to do exactly what I said not to do just to see if I would hold you under until the bubble stop?
Well, that's how they'll work. Because once you say X, they're going to do. They're going to do exactly what, you know, opposite of it.
I'll never forget that. Just the, in my head, seeing him run across air until he was like, oh crap, I'm sinking.
I think my favorite was the weekend lock-in you had that I preached at and a kid brought bed bugs.
No, he didn't bring bed bugs. So, somebody in the church brought bed bugs and he found one crawling.
Oh, I thought home. A kid did it. Okay.
No. And we can have this is a behind the paywall
Oh,
conversation.
yeah.
So somebody brings them in. And so here's the deal. Like, we would have these weekend retreats where we would get there at like 6 o'clock Friday night and would leave at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Okay. No, we wouldn't leave the church until then. We'd sleep in the church. And then that Sunday, for some reason, I thought it would be a great idea. That Sunday should be Youth Sunday, and I would preach. Never mind that I had been up for X amount of hours straight. And so I get
And the
home
entire church smelled like
Sunday
BO
afternoon.
and feet.
Oh man, it was, and I think rumor has it they're still finding Nerf darts to this day in the sanctuary. But like, I get home and I've taken my shoes off and I've sat down, and like, for that to have happened, like, I don't want to leave my chair for the next 8 hours. Like, Ashley will bring dinner to me. I'm not moving. And I look down and my phone rings, and it's one of our deacons who just happens to be a parent of this child. And he was like, "Andy, are you sitting down?" And I was like, "Well, of course. Like, I am spent. I don't have the time and energy to deal with anything. What you need, friend?" And he said, "Well, Caleb was trying to sleep Friday night, and he saw something crawling on the floor, so he shined his flashlight on it, and it was a bed bug." I said, "How do you know it's a bed bug? Like, is it a stink bug?" And he was like, "I'm looking at it right now." And I go, "Excuse me?"
He
He
brought
put
it
it in a
home.
plastic bag. Didn't say anything to a single adult.
Oh,
This was Friday
I didn't
night.
realize that.
No, Friday night says nothing. Saturday, all day says nothing. Sunday says nothing. Not to me, not to the other leaders, not to his parents during church. He waits till he gets home and they're in the garage and he's like, "Oh, hey, look what we found at church," and pulls up this bag, this little like Ziploc bag, and it's just crawling around in there.
Hey, look what I got.
And so, man, I like my heart sank. So I called the deacons and I was like, "Hey, this is brought to my attention." So then I have to call every parent
Right.
of the 30 kids that were there. And I can't get a hold of one parent. So you know what that means I have to do? I have to get up out of my chair. I have to put my shoes on and I have to go to that parent's house. And I have to tell them, "Hey, you're going to want to, take some precautions."
You might have bed bugs.
Ridiculous. But I just, who does that? Like, why would you
Teenagers.
not say something?
Teenagers do that.
And the one that brought the bed bugs in, friend of the show, Bryce, when he was pastoring that church, in reference to the gentleman that brought him in, he said, "Andy, I'm gonna teach you something about ministry that you're gonna need to know. In every church, there's going to be at least one, and if God really loves you, there'll be multiples, but at least one member of the church that you're just going to want to scream and holler every time you see them, right? That nothing good is going to come from the conversation. You're going to have to fix problems, because they've said or done something, and it's just, one headache after the other, but you still have to love them." And I was like, "Well, yeah, you have to love them. Like, I get that." And he said, "But I'm going to give you a term so that when you're talking to other people, you can just be like, 'Hey, my blah, 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 this is what they did this week. How should I handle it?'" And I was like, "Oh, what is that term?" And he goes, "They're called EGRs." And in my peanut brain, I was like, "I have no clue what that means." And he was like, "Yes, Andy, extra grace required." And that has stuck with me for years, because if you look at some of the youth groups that I've had over the years, I've had at least two, either as parents, youth, or mix with any group I've worked with.
I'm going to see him in a couple of weeks. I'm going to drop that.
EGR. Do it. I love Bryce.
Teaching
me the heavy stuff in ministry.
I've had a couple. Well, you know who that was for me back in Vigo County. And I'm sure when you were interim at my church, you know who that was. And then
I didn't have as much problems out of him as I did the couple in the back pew.
Oh, you want to talk about weird things? Is it the couple in the back pew? So
we'll get to them.
Yeah, I have one of those. I have somebody at my church now who needs EGR. Because this man, God bless him, he is the living embodiment of Eeyore. The donkey from Winnie the Pooh. I don't know if this man knows what joy is. And I'm like, you know, he's like, I never believed he was like, he's 70. I think he's 70 years old. He looks like he's 55, right? He's in good shape, you know, had a sports car. Didn't have any joy with that. What had to get rid of it. Like he does, everything is just like he's the cartoon character with the black cloud with the thunderstorms, like from the old Bugs Bunny cartoons, walking down like.
Oh, yeah.
So like, God bless him, but yeah, he requires some EGR.
Yeah, I think the statistics for EGRs, it fluctuates between church to church, but generally 1 in 4, 1 in 5, you know, maybe that's a little high, maybe 1 in 10 people are gonna be an EGR. And so I always tell people,
and it varies. So like the last church I was at, it was a 1 in 5. We were a smaller church, so it was a 1 in 5. And my youth group, I told them, I was like, look, it's, you know, 1 in 5 of you are an EGR. And I said, so now look to your right, look to your left. If you can't figure out which one of them is the EGR,
it's you.
It's you. It's you. And so I said that one time, and I remember, and I love this kid, like sweetest girl ever comes up to me and goes, Andy, am I the EGR?
If you have to ask, it's
and I said, well, dear, what do you think? And she said, well, I looked right and I looked left, and they annoy me, but I know that they don't really give you problems. And you love them a lot. So, and I was like, well, I love you a lot too. She goes, I know, but I'm the EGR, aren't I? And I just looked at her and I said, well, you're right. I love you. You know, and you do give me a lot of headaches. And you most certainly are this group's EGR. Like, that's just, yes, it's you. To quote Taylor Swift, it's you. You're the problem. It's you.
I thought the Taylor Swift song was, it's little, me. I'm the problem. It's me. Am I wrong about that?
No, it's me. I'm the drama. It's me. Yeah, yeah. Oh. That's what I'm quoting, but I just kind of changed it. I, you know, I just had to name drop T Swizzle because my boys can't stand her, and it'll be fun for me when they listen to this episode.
I'm pretty sure she's one of the antichrists that John talks about in Revelation.
Fingers crossed.
So, funny weird things. Like, I never had a lot of weird stuff when I was a youth pastor. I had a couple of kids who were like super needy. I had those criers who were like, you know, you're like 15 and you're crying over everything. Like, I'm like you're 6. And, but I never really had those issues. But so we'll lead up to the back row couple.
Oh, well, I was about to say, that's where I'm going next.
That you mentioned. But prior to the back row couple, I've had some, I've been catcalled in the pulpit. By an elderly woman who...
Look, I apologized for that, okay?
I've been catcalled by preaching. I had a woman... Well, actually, same woman that catcalled me another time. It's her. Same woman who catcalled me another time took her shirt off and was about to remove her brassiere when someone stopped her.
Filled with the spirit that day.
I had a guy... who couldn't wake up after, and I swore he died. Like, he was, I was like,
I don't know how you come back from that. I was like, just dying peacefully while you're preaching.
I was like, is he narcoleptic? I don't know how
you come back from that.
They're like, this has never happened before. I'm like, is he drunk? Is he on medication? Does he suffer from narcolepsy? Because it took us about 25 minutes to wake him up. I called 911. And then finally the guy's like, oh, that was a good nap. And I'm like, thanks for the encouragement, pal.
We almost got the paddles for you.
So I think the weirdest thing, I'm called to preach in Indiana. I come for a view to a call. The place is packed. There's so many people that came who have nothing to do with that church. Everybody just brought their family. They're like, oh, they want to see what the new guy's like. My first week officially there, I let the guy that was serving as the interim preach, and I wanted to worship with them. So I didn't notice anything.
Was that Roger?
Roger Berry, yeah. So second week there, my first week preaching, there's a couple in the back row. They are engaged. They are 40. Like, they are definitely in their early 40s. He's there with his mom. I think one of his children. She's there with her children. And they're in the back row, and I'm preaching. And you know, the one thing is, you see everything when you're in the pulpit. Like, you know, you're looking out. And so, like, sometimes I take my glasses off because I could still see, but I can't see details. I just don't want to see what's going on. And there's no other way to describe this. They are making out in the back row. Like, they are making out. And, like, and I'm thinking, oh, goodness, I don't want to have this conversation. Like, it would have been so much easier if I was a youth pastor and I caught two of the kids doing it and, like, had that conversation. Like, they're 40. Their kids are there. And then I'm justifying it in my mind while I'm preaching. I'm like, well, I know that he's gone for work, like, stretches at a time, a week stretch, maybe 2 weeks at a time. And I'm like, well, maybe he's just got back. And they miss each other. Now, this is literally, I'm just knowing it's completely wrong, like, to do anywhere in public, let alone church or in service. But I'm like, I don't know these people very well yet. So, like, maybe this is, he misses her, she misses him. So I let it go. Next week.
So I remember. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Next week it happens again. Only this time, his hands are disappearing. Since this is a family,
I was going to say, I remember.
I can't see his hands.
The first time that we had breakfast together, we were talking, and I interimed for a short period at this church as well. And like the first or second week that I was there, I was going over the different types of love, right? Because love is many forms in the Bible, mm-hmm. And so I was just going through and explaining each one and how it applied to our life and how it applied to the Christian walk. Okay.
And since there were some vocal people, but they just yelled, get the arrows.
Yeah. And so I get to the romantic love. And again, you know, you're in the pulpit and you see everything. Well, in this church, you literally see everything because it's so small.
Small room. It's a big room width wise. It's not deep.
Yeah, it is not deep and wide. It's just wide. And so as I'm doing that, and I had noticed a little bit the week before, but I quickly turned my attention away from it because I am easily distracted, right? I have my ADD moments where, like, and if I would have fixated on it, I would have called him out from the pulpit. That's probably what I should have done, but I didn't. And so this week, we're going over the different forms of love, and we get to the romantic sexual love, and I look up and his hands are, and I'm again, he's by his mother. The child is on the other side. Her child is literally right there. I didn't know they weren't married at the time.
Me either. I thought they were married. I didn't know they weren't married.
Yeah. Good text, by the way. So I look up, and as I'm like, you know, this is what this means. And I'm like, and you've seen me speak, like, at times I get animated and I talk with my hands, and I just remember pausing. And you could almost tell sitting in the pews, that's not a planned pause. Like, it didn't make sense in the structure of my sentence or my cadence, because I have a very distinct cadence when I preach. And it bothers Dr. Wife. But I do. I can't help it. And there was this absorbent, because I look up and I see his hand is completely up her dress from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And she is looking down, and that leg twitched, and I was done. I did not know how I was going to finish that sermon. And so I finished it. Never mind. Family show. So I finished the sermon, and then I go into the Lord's Supper, because that was what was next.
I hope you fenced that table.
And I did. Oh, that's what I'm getting at. I didn't ask anybody, because I was talking to the one lady who is essentially runs the church.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how do y'all do the Lord's Supper? Like, I'm excited to participate with you guys. Who passes it out? And she said, well, you know, you could get so-and-so. And I was like, is he qualified? Well, I said, I'll handle it. You know, I'll pass it myself. And that wasn't an arrogant, that sounds very arrogant the way I just said it. There was no arrogance to it.
Yeah.
I was like, I will read scripture. I will pass it out. I will read scripture again. We'll take it as a family. And when I tell you, I went to everyone and was passing it out. I went to that back row last. Neither kid reached out for it, so I didn't put it in front of them. I went straight to grandma, and I put it in front of her. And as both him and her are reaching, like, I have a pretty good idea where that hand has been. Don't touch this stuff. I didn't say that, but that's where my head was. And like, they go to reach for it, and I just pull the plate back. Like, didn't even give them the opportunity. And then walk back up, set it down, took it, read my scripture, prayed, and we took communion. And that was the last time I ever saw that couple. They didn't come back another time that I was there. I evidently offended the grandmother. Because she told me that I should not be so judgmental, and I don't know enough about them. And I was like, well, ma'am, I would love to get to know them. What could I call? And then she just left. And so she didn't talk to me the rest of the time I was there. And they didn't come back. And the only other time I saw them was I came to a Good Friday sermon that you did, and they happened to be there. But me and Dr. Wife and the boys sat in the front two pews.
Yeah, because so I needed didn't you.
Have to. Yeah, because I had to. I was, you know, I helped serve communion again. Yeah. And so I didn't see what was going on behind me. But I thought of all the awkward moments, and I have been a part of awkward moments. I have caused awkward moments, but of all the awkward moments that I could think of, that may have been the most uncomfortable I've ever been.
Well,
pulpit.
Yeah. And so third week it happens again, can't see his hands. And so then, I make them wait after church, and I have to have like one of the most awkward conversations I've ever had in ministry, where I bring them to my study and I was like, y'all can't be doing that. And they're like, what? I'm like, making out in church. I was like, you need to set an example. And I was like, you're not even married yet. I thought they were married, but they weren't. They got married a week after I had to have that awkward conversation. Yeah, that was
so
interesting.
So what did
to
they
tell.
Say?
They basically, he didn't say anything. If you knew, and you know, I think if you know him, you could have expected that. She did all the talking, but she did all the talking, but you could tell like she was mortified, but she was defensive. Simultaneously, she's like, well, we're not really doing anything, and we love each other, and that's how we show our love. And I'm like, that's fine, y'all can show your love that way next week after you get married, and just don't ever do it in church.
Next week after you get married in an appropriate location.
Yes, don't do it in church. Yeah, and the mom, the grandmother, she was a little miffed with me after having that conversation as well. But once it was found out, some of the people were very happy because one woman, she's like, I'm so glad you said something. I was so tired of hearing them kiss during service for the last 6 months.
Yeah. It just, the fact that it was allowed to go on for so long is what gets me. I'll never understand that.
Well, that
so
church
I got,
had,
I got one more.
Some of the powers that be in that church had an unhealthy empathy, mercy, too much. And so they'd let anything happen.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I've got one more. And then if you have any others, you can have them, or we can start to wrap up. But this is one of my favorite stories to tell because it involves my grandfather. And if you know me at all, like my people in this world, not named Chad, the people that were my people before I met Chad, were my grandparents. I was closer to them than any adult in my life. You know, when I moved from Kentucky, I called my grandmother, if not every day, every other day. And we would and have conversations, and, you know, then she'd put Papa on the phone, and we would talk. And that continued up until Papa died last year. But when I was in high school, we were at church, and we would all kind of sit together as a family. Like, the back area of the church was called the Crow's Nest. Because that's where we all sit, and it would fill up a little bit. And then occasionally, we wouldn't fit because, you know, other people would sit there and whatnot. And so Papa would just pull up a folding chair and would sit on the end of the pew, and he would either sit by Mama or I would sit in between them, just depending. And this week I, happened to be sitting in between them. And the pastor is going, right? He is moving and a shaking, and he is filled with you know, the Spirit and just leading service. And he's talking about the church and how we should be the hands and feet of Christ, and we shouldn't argue, because, you know, Scripture says, you know, essentially the foot and the hand can't fight each other, because if we don't have a foot and we don't have a hand, the church doesn't work, right? Like, the church has to work together. And he was like, yeah, the church has to work together like one giant living, breathing organism, is what he meant to say.
Oh.
But what in fact, and I know we're child friendly, but I'm going to say it because it's just hilarious. What in fact this man says to a congregation full of people of all ages and maturity levels, and maturity level is real important for what I'm about to say. He says, you know, and he read the verse, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to paraphrase again. Like, it's not good for the hand to say, oh, I'm not a foot, so I don't want to work, and vice versa, because the church has to work together in harmony because we are one giant living, breathing orgasm. And he didn't realize that he said orgasm. And so he kept going. And as soon as it happened, my head whipped 90 degrees to
How
my
old
grandfather.
Were you?
And Peppa, I was in high school.
Okay.
Late high school. And then Peppa's head whipped even harder. The fact that we did not break our necks was a pure miracle. And we are cackling. We're not silently giggling in the back. Like, we are cackling. And the room, like, everybody else in the room is so uncomfortable except for the men and boys in the Crow's Nest. I'm cackling. Papa's cackling. Like, Mom and Claudia, hee-hee-hee. My Uncle Donnie is, like, trying to hold his stuff together. All the teenagers back there, like, oh, my goodness, what just happened? My grandmother is mortified. Mama's face is about as bright red as you can get, and she's slapping me and hitting Papa, and she's like, Jerry, you have to leave.
And so me and Papaw had to get up and walk out of the service because we could not control ourselves. And so it was a very traditional church. And so, you know, we had the altar call, and then the pastor would call on somebody to pray, and the pastor would make his way back to the door, and there would be the handshake line, right, to leave. And so he gets to the back door, and me and Papal are just standing, you know, at the back door. We've come back in at this point. And he, you know, he turns his mic off, thankfully. And he goes, "Hey, Jerry, what happened? Like, what happened?" And Papal was like, "You didn't say organism." And he was like, "Yeah, I did." And he was like, "No." And he's like, "What'd I say?" And I looked at him, and Papaw looked at him, and then we all kind of like did the whole Spider-Man meme where, you know, they're pointing at each other because they're the same thing. And it comes on his, like, he realizes what he said. And like the sheer embarrassment on this man's face, I can't even explain it to you, man.
Was he an old school dude?
But that is the, I would consider him, yeah.
Yeah, that's mortifying for one of them. I mean, it's mortifying for anybody, oh, but man. I think those old past guys, that's like, that's the end. Like, he probably took life boy and watched.
He's probably in his 40s. He's probably in his 40s then. And it, he wasn't a lifelong Christian. He came to Christ late, right? So, I mean, he said some things in his day. I'm sure he was a construction worker. So he said some things in his day, but oh man, that is a story that will live in my head rent free until the day I die.
You know, I mean, I know there's some things I've said that I put my foot in the mouth, but I have a couple of things that are weird but not funny. I think some of the things they never prepare you for in ministry was when I went with other pastors from the church to physically remove the live-in boyfriend of a church member's daughter. She was a church member as well, but the live-in boyfriend of a church member, because he was abusive, and he got all mouthy with us. And he's like, "Well, you're not the cops." And we're like, "No, we're her pastors. Let's go pack a bag and get out." Like, those are the things they don't prepare.
There are times you should probably be.
Yeah.
There are probably times you should be more afraid of the pastor than you should the cops.
Oh yeah. There are. I was like, well, I know one of these dudes is packing at this moment, so we're probably bringing more. Like, it's the things they don't prepare you for, like, and the things the shepherd of flock. And I think a really strange thing happened to me this past Friday during our Good Friday service. Church member, the two sisters, well, three sisters really been coming to my church. Two of the sisters are members. The one, she had told me she hadn't heard from her sister for a couple of days, and they usually keep in touch, and there she can't. She's in a secure building, like a senior's building. So I had to call for a welfare check, which I've never had to do at all in my life. And they found her, and she had passed. She was a lot older than I thought. So she was going to be 88. She would have been 88 this coming year, and or sometime in the next few months. But anyway, like, so I'm waiting for the police to call or for her sister to call, and it's going on, and we're starting the service, and I've started to preach, which I wasn't preaching for very long for Good Friday, but I've started to preach, and my phone's buzzing, and I can see it on my watch. I don't know what number it is. So literally I just tell them, I was like, "Hey, I'm sorry, but I have to take this call." I was like, "It's either the woman's sister or the police department." And so I just take the call in the pulpit, and I think the sound person's running back to shut my mic off because I haven't turned my mic off. And I'm just taking a call, and I'm like, I'm trying to console her. It was the sister, and she's bawling in my ear, and I'm trying to, like, you know, console her in that moment and let her know that as soon as we're done, I'll be over there. And, you know, and she still had to wait for the coroner and all that stuff. So I knew out here that the last person I knew that I had to deal with the coroner, it took like 3 hours for the coroner to come. So I didn't expect it was going to happen fast. But then I hang up, and I just tell the church, I'm like, you know, Pat's been called home. Let's pray. And I think they all thought I was going to be done. And then I just went and finished my sermon. Because it was, I mean, I wasn't going to do her any good to get there. She needed some time. You know, she wasn't alone. Like her sister's friend was there and the police were there with her. And so I finished. And then I headed out afterwards. But that was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced in ministry up to this point, was taking the phone call in the pulpit. And granted, I mean, I could laugh about it a little bit because it's strange, but you know, I think, you know, knowing this woman and knowing where she stood with the Lord and believing in what God tells us, like I know where she is, and I have no doubts in my mind. And I look forward to that day when I see her again. But I will admit, this is going to be one of the hardest. This is going to be one of the hardest funerals I have to do. Like, it's going to be hard to not cry.
Oh, absolutely.
This one's going to be tough, but.
Yeah, so today, tonight, good morning, whenever you're listening to this, ministry definitely ebbs and flows, and it is a simultaneously the most fun thing you can do.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Hardest thing you can do.
Oh, it's tough.
Yeah. So it's at both ends of the extreme. But if you're legit called to it and you put what you know you have to put into it to do it, which is everything, there is no better feeling that you get, excuse me, I got the hiccups, than doing this. And I'm going to say the word job loosely, but there's nothing more you would rather be doing than this job.
It's the only thing I'm good at. It's the only thing I've ever been good at. And in all honesty, I suck at it. Like, I really feel every day like I'm the worst pastor in the world, but it's the only thing I'm good at.
The amount of times I've left a service, whether youth or adult, and thought to myself, man, I'm really good at this, and I nailed it today, versus the times I've left, because I've called you on those days,
mm-hmm.
like, dude, this was it. This was the Sunday, or this was the Wednesday.
Yeah.
Versus the times I've called you and said, why am I doing this? I suck. Maybe not in those words, but that's what I'm saying. Like, those far outweigh the I'm the man.
Yeah, and I guess when I say that I'm good at it, maybe that's not the right phrase. It's the only thing I want to do. Like, I feel it. Like, as far as a vocation, like, this is it. Like, it's the only thing that I have a desire to do. Like, I have no desire to go make software again or push papers or any of that stuff, right? Like,
yeah, it's the no, only like thing I want. The job that I have right now, the job that I have right now is the director of this region that I'm in. Like, do I like that job? Yeah. Can I be good at it? Absolutely. Am I going to make an impact? Probably. But is it what I'm called to do? No. Mm. No, I would much rather be serving in a church full-time or bivoc, either one, proclaiming God's word. And you can come at me and say, well, Andy, you can proclaim God's word anywhere. Yes. But when you have a call put on you, you tend to, that's what you long for. And so I want to read this verse real quick. It is 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. I'm going to read from the Holman Standard, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And it says, this saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be an overseer, other translations have bishop, others have elder, right?
Mm-hmm.
He desires a noble work. The NASB is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to be in the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do.
Mm.
It is not easy.
It can be super fun. It can be heartbreaking.
Oh, but yeah.
There's nothing else I desire to do in this life than to spread the word of my Jesus in hopes that I can plant a seed that someday will bear fruit.
Yeah.
It is a noble, noble task and desire.
And it's hard. It's hard today in a post-Christian world where used car salesmen are more respected and revered than we are. It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I had an encounter.
No,
I was just going to say, I had an encounter with my old pastor today, just about something that I shared with him, and he complimented me that, you know, nobody's done that for him in a long time. And I just simply said to him, I was like, well, it's what we're supposed to do as pastors. You modeled well for me. And I really thought, like, someday when I'm his age, I really hope that someone could say that about me.
Yeah. I mean, we've all had, we've multiple mentors, really, if we think about it. Those of us in ministry we joke that, like, in coaching, right? There's coaching trees. So and so was under this guy who now has these many coaches and blah, blah, blah. You know, we have a pastoring tree. Like, I discipled him and he became a pastor, and then he did this. And so, like, we all have mentors, and there's generally multiple.
Yeah.
And I've had good mentors. I've had bad mentors.
Uh-huh.
And I, from the bottom of my heart, can't thank you enough for pouring into me and
me?
For calling me out on my, yes, for pouring into me and for calling me out of my crap, and for encouraging me to continue on when things got hard. We've been there for each other, and we say this all the time. We've been there for some pretty high points with each other's lives. We've been there for some pretty low points in each other's lives. I can't thank you enough, because there was a time that when I was in ministry, at a previous spot, that things weren't going great. And I wanted to throw in the towel because I was convinced that I was preaching right, but was being told that I was wrong. And I couldn't handle it. And you were there to make, not so much to pick me up, but to push me forward. Not even take the time to pick me up. Just keep moving. Just keep moving forward. Keep moving, keep praying. The amount of encouragement and time that you have poured into me over the 4 or 5 years that we've known each other is,
I think it's like six now.
It's more like six, but whatever, you know what I mean? Like, the amount of time that you've poured into me and just mentored me, like, I can't thank you enough for that. And so, you know, I was thinking as you were telling me that story before, because the little prep that we do for this on a normal show was even less today, because both of our brains
we are English, flying by the seat of our pants.
When we say dumpster fire, like, we threw some extra kerosene on this bad boy, and like, it'll go, it'll swim. You know, you told me that story beforehand of that pastor, and all I could think about is, holy crap, I could say the same thing about you.
I could say the same thing about you, because you've definitely done the same for me, but you're just trying to make me cry on a podcast.
No, if I wanted to do that, I could do something else. I just, you know, I thought of all, you know, we started kind of fun and jokey, but I wanted to, with that scripture, and then, you know, I wanted to kind of end on a somewhat serious note.
Well, thank
and
you.
Also, you know,
that means a lot to me. I don't think you'll know how much that means to me. Yeah, sometimes there is we need to hear it, and sometimes it comes exactly when we need to hear it. Because, you know, the thing is, we've talked about this before, right? Sheep bite, and sometimes the people you're called to love, they're hard to love.
Hurt you.
Yeah.
E-G-R.
Hurt you, go after your family, like just, but no, that means a lot to me, Andy. More than you know. The check is in the mail.
I appreciate that. And speaking of checks, don't forget to check out our friends at St. Gargano Armory for all your blacksmith merchandise needs and apparel at stgarganoarmory.etsy.com. They are on social media at St. Gargano on Twitter, and then the _ king of the world on Instagram.
Yeah, it's at St. Gargano_armory. You can reach out to us on X and Instagram at Hill Hipster Pod. Email us, hillhipsterpod@gmail.com. Let us know you got any questions. You can ask Pastor Andy. That'll be a segment. Ask Pastor Andy for your life questions. Well, I'm going to close with a verse, and then you get the last word. It's something I've been thinking about a lot the last day. So James 5, verse 8, be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Silence.
I don't know how you top that. Right. Amen. So here's what I'm going to say is my last phrase. Good night, stay classy, and let's go to Huddle House.
Where's the record button to stop it?